Welcome to the Happily Hormonal podcast. Now, if you're a little iffy on whether or not the word hormonal is a good one, then you are in the right place. If you would love to have lasting energy, balanced hormones, and better periods, and you find yourself spending all of your precious time after the kids go to bed researching what to eat, what supplements to take, how to exercise, and you feel overwhelmed by all the info out there, then I've got you. I'm Leisha Drew, is registered nurse and functional diagnostic nutrition practitioner, plus mama of three little ones, and I know that hormone balance doesn't have to be hard. I'll help you balance your hormones without perfection with simple steps that actually work for busy mamas so you can feel good inside and out and be present, joyful, and confident in the beautiful life you're already living. If you're in for happy hormones, taking messy action, and seeing results without perfection, then put your hair in that mom bun, grab your toddler the seventh snack of the day, and grab yourself a bone broth hot chocolate so we can do this. Hello, welcome back to the podcast. Today I have my friend Rebecca Dollard. I think most of us call her Becca, or at least I do. And I cannot wait for this. So Becca was on episode 8, which we just discussed was like a year and a half ago. And I am so excited to have her back. We have thrown around like 12 to 15 topic ideas for today in the last 15 minutes. We have a direction we want to go, but I love Becca. I love all of the things that she brings. And so I'm just going to let you introduce yourself, Becca. Just tell us a little bit about you as a person, what you do as a coach, and then we're going to dive in for our topics.
Yeah. So today is really fun because Leisha and I have many different layers of like roles and relationships to each other. So I'm Becca, and I happen to have been a client of Leisha's, and she helped me a ton with my body and my hormones and just a lot of the relationship to my health and the way I eat, which I think we're going to talk a lot about today. But I'm also a somatic life coach for moms, and that brings a lot of experience here today. So I get to be professional coach Becca, but also just human having her own experience as well today. And also Leisha and I are good friends. So there's that aspect to every conversation we have. We have to cut ourselves off of, okay, we'll have to save that for another day because we could go on that rabbit trail for a while. So it'll be fun.
Yeah. Awesome. I love that. All of the things. And that's what you're going to get today is all of the things. So what I wanted to start with and focus on today, though, is really this conversation about the relationships we have to our bodies. Yeah. And so we're going to start with just talking about Becca's experience with this in the last year, couple of years. I know this is not a new thing that you have worked on, right, in your life. And we all are making progress and like changes through the relationship with our bodies and healing. But let's just talk about your story and some of the things that we worked through. And yeah, we'll go from there.
Yeah, no, it's not a new topic at all. In fact, I remember there's this reel going around of saying, ask your husband or boyfriend about the Roman Empire. And I remember giggling and being like, what? And I asked Jay, I was like, do you think about the Roman Empire? And he went off on this like explanation, and I didn't. But the whole concept was like, the men are thinking about the Roman Empire all of the time, even though it doesn't really have
even
any context
literally,
to do.
When was the last time I heard about that before that reel started?
What Ever. Do you mean they're thinking about the Roman Empire? Which is why I thought it was dumb. I was like, this is stupid. And then I was like, wait, you are thinking about the Roman Empire? But I've actually seen also women saying body is my Roman Empire. Mm-hmm. I'm just constantly thinking about it and almost like obsessing over it. Definitely. And body and the relationship to my body has, I would say up until the last couple of years, always felt tumultuous. I had early childhood abuse. I had really complex trauma happening in my teens. And I've had a range of issues that are like diagnosed of disordered eating, and I've had insomnia, and I've had all of these like mental health related physical issues of like really holding a lot of trauma in my body. And then I also have had, especially as an adult, I've had issues that are much more like biological of went to Mexico, came back and had to eliminate all of these foods because I was pooping myself. The topic of my body and eating and the way that I relate to my body has always been a thing. I think one of the most amazing aspects of my healing journey, though, is that the last couple of years, it's no longer my Roman Empire. I don't have to spend a lot of mental, emotional energy or time or capacity hyper fixating or hyper focusing on it. I'm paying attention to it because I want to be healthy. I want to take care of my body. Like, it's a huge value of mine to build vitality. And then there's also this relationship to my body of it's not just physical, it's emotional, spiritual, and emotional. There's this whole experience of my body. And so one of the biggest, Leisha and I were talking before this of bringing somatic healing into this, because for me, a lot of the stuff that I've experienced in my healing with my body, even just hormonally and the way that I eat and what I eat, has been a healing journey, not just in like behaviors of eating the right things or working out or moving, but in the way that I feel, the experiences that come up, the emotions that come up. And somatic healing is really just, instead of outwardly looking in at our bodies of the image of us, we're looking at our bodies as a whole, like mixed up part of us. We cannot separate ourselves from our body. And our bodies are not us, and yet they are, right? Like, the body holds our experiences and our stories, and the body can hold a lot of trauma. But what I have found is that, like, my body also holds a lot of healing. My body wants to heal.
I love that.
And it's so interesting because me and you did a lot of work on like my hormones and what I could do. But I think the most beautiful thing that came from our work, and like, I still cry sometimes when I think about this moment, like on a call where I was frustrated because things weren't happening as quickly as I wanted them to. And I remember this moment of you just, oh, well, I trust your body. And having this moment of, oh yeah, I do too. Mm-hmm. I do too. Like, I trust her to know that if she's still complaining about things, mm-hmm. there's a reason. It's because there's something wrong and I need to know about it. Yeah. And it was really refreshing to have someone outside of me confirm that I'm allowed to trust my body, because I think for a while that felt like a rebellious state. So that's me. I'm not good at being short intros, but it's always been a topic that's been big to me. And I have such a different approach now to it than I used to. And I think that a lot of women have.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that to make this conversation even a little bit more broad, because that's what we're going to do today.
Perfect. I love it.
So when Becca and I are talking, I'm coaching her. We're talking mm-hmm. about food. We're talking about the relationship with your body. We're talking about really cutting through these ingrained pathways in our brain of like diet culture. Like, you have to eat less to be better. You have to restrict certain foods. You have to restrict certain macros. You have to restrict calories. You have to like pull back and make yourself less so that you can be better or whatever. And Becca and I are not about that anymore, like in any realm of our lives. But when we're talking about a relationship with food, it's really easy for me to say, okay, like, how can you trust your body? Like, how can you think about nourishing in a way that is similar to like how you want to nourish your kids and like nourishing someone you love? But then we can pull back the curtain on my side a little bit. And I've worked with Becca extensively as her being my coach as well. And she is so good at speaking those same words to me that I understand, of trusting your body with your hormones and trusting your body with nutrition in more of an emotional standpoint, and being able mm-hmm. to understand, okay, but what if I can trust these feelings that I'm having that I don't want to have? And I think that may be a different layer mm-hmm. that can also be holding you back in your hormones and also be holding you back with like stress and all of these different things. So if you want to speak to that a little bit.
Yeah. Well, what I'm hearing with what you just said is that what I see a lot in women as a coach, and this was my experience as well, is that a lot of women have learned to look outside themselves for permission, and not just advice, not just wisdom, not just, can you help me with this topic, but am I allowed? Am I okay? We're looking outside ourselves for a perfect checklist for someone to tell us, how do I tie a pretty bow on this? How do I make this pretty? How do I make this perfect? And we keep looking to these different experts. You've succeeded. Tell me how you did it. And one of the examples I love to give on this is that if me and Leisha wanted to go to Disneyland, which I know instantly would probably excite you, that me and you are going to go on a trip. Let's do a trip. Maybe not to Disneyland.
Disney is not probably what I would pick first.
Florida Beach.
Yes.
Okay.
You know me.
Yes.
But I was going to say, even if it was Disney, well, first of all, like, you can have fun at Disney no matter who you are. But yeah, I'm excited. Let's go.
Yeah.
I might try to change the destination a few times, but let's do it.
Yeah. But let's say both you and I wanted to go there. And I'm like, okay, Leisha, tell me how to get there. And you open your GPS and you start giving me the directions and I follow them exactly. I'm not going to get there because Leisha's starting from somewhere completely different than I am. Mm-hmm. She's walking a completely path. She's in a different body. And bringing this back to the relationship to ourselves, we look outside of us for what we need. And yet we have this body, this intuition, this nervous system, these emotions, this spirit, this direct relationship to God that's literally telling us what to do. And yet we were not taught that's valuable information. We were taught that like wisdom is outside of us, permission is outside of us, validation is outside of us. I love coaches, but one of the things that I look for in mentorship is someone who does not put themselves and their wisdom over my innate sovereignty. Their body is not my body. My body and my nutrition and even my emotional or quote unquote self-care is the word that our culture loves using. All of that has to be in relationship to the need, because otherwise we're just slapping random band-aids on things without actually figuring out what's the problem we're even solving. Because, and Leisha probably knows this too, but as a coach, I can have five women come to me and tell me the exact same problem on their intake form. And all five of them need something different. Someone needs more grace and they just need some care and changing their expectations. Someone else needs some more self-accountability and needs some more connection to their values. Someone else has some rage going on. Like, all of them could be experiencing something different. But if we never get to the intuition of your body, of what your experience is, of what you want, it doesn't help us to start giving all of these external behaviors of do this, do that, do this. Because I work with a lot of high functioning women who are very capable of a lot of things. Like, they're really good at getting shit done. But if it feels like crap, what's the point? And so I love the way that both of us have learned how to work with both. Here's this like high functioning, capable person who knows better. Mm-hmm. But what's the thing getting in the way of her doing better when it comes to taking care of herself? What's the actual reason she's not doing it? Because it's probably a little bit deeper than we first originally see.
Hey friends, sorry to interrupt, but I have something new and free for you. So it's going to be worth it. I just created a private pod course that is going to teach you all about how to actually balance your blood sugar for happier hormones and more stable moods and energy. And I'm giving away the first two episodes completely free. All you have to do is sign up and grab those and you will have complete access right away. Your link is in the show notes and I will see you in there. Yeah. Okay. So I'm just curious. Why do you think, because I don't know if this is new or not, but why do you think there is such a, I'm going to say epidemic, but like totally me, like everything you said, it's me, right? Like, I want someone to be the expert and tell me the thing and fix my problem in the easiest way possible. But I have really been feeling convicted, even within my business, within my health, like all of these things that I have so often outsourced to, that I have heard the Lord telling me, like, stop trying to hire the next business coach, do the next thing. You know what to do, stop and do it. And me, like, my personality type, my like ambition / scatterbrain, like all the things, I just want to find the next thing that's going to be like the quick fix, the easy thing, right? And I know that I'm not alone in that. I'm just curious, do you feel like that's increasing? And what do you think is driving that?
I think it's definitely increasing. And I think there's a couple different problems here, and we'll see if I can stay on track long enough to to remember what we're talking about. But one of the big things is I think we live in a culture that pedestalizes leaders. Mm-hmm. And what I mean by that is if you look at our cultural structure, and especially if you look at the structure of religions and churches and families, and even this new therapy and coaching, which is becoming bigger and bigger, like therapists and coaches and parenting experts and self-development, there's an expert on everything. If you scroll social media, I don't know what other people's social medias looks like, is it's just like expert after expert, expert. Yeah. And all of them are telling me what I need to do or what I need to not do or do this, do that. And they're all conflicting. But in our culture, we have pedestalized leaders as you have this like godlike ability and knowledge to fix me because I'm broken. Mm-hmm. And the reality is that if we're not in tune with our own stuff, we're just going to be chasing the next fix. Mm-hmm. And we're going to be giving other people the power that like they don't have. A therapist, a coach, a pastor, they, whatever parenting expert, like they're not you. And they can't come do the stuff you have to do. They can't right. feel what you have to feel. They're not the one parenting your kids. And so there's this weird, if I make it your responsibility, it can be your fault. So there's this like double-edged, yeah, like true. One, we pedestalize leaders as like knowing more than us because we want someone outside of us that we can trust because we've been taught since we were little kids to trust someone outside of ourselves. Mm-hmm. And also, I just want to add a note. I'm raising my kids to trust themselves as much as they trust me, which is bullshit as a parent because I'm like, I just need you to listen. And my daughter's, but no. And I'm like, just do what I say. I want you to trust yourself and I want you to listen to your intuition, but I also need you to just blindly follow what I want you to. And it's very uncomfortable because you lose this ability to control people. And we live in a society that wants to control our bodies. We want to control our emotions. We want to control our businesses. We want to control our kids. And we get the rug pulled out of us when we state this truth that like Leisha knows I say all the time is you don't control this. This is outside of your control. You can't fix this. You can't heal this. You can't outthink this. We can't, but nobody wants to buy that.
Nope.
Nobody wants to buy that because I'm no longer selling you on you're broken and I can fix you. I'm telling you, you're not broken. Life is just hard.
Right.
And that doesn't mean that we can't take accountability and ownership and we can't influence things, but not when we're giving our power away, not when we're giving our intuition away. And also that's the messy road. That's the messy way to do things. And we don't like messy. We want to be cute. We want to have like a home edit of our eating and then just have everything be really pretty. And then it's not.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's just not.
Yeah. I know. And I tell you all the time, I just want you to put a bow on this for me. And you're like, I'm out of bows. And I'm like, Becca, you for the freaking bow. Like, where is it? Fix it. But
I know.
When you were talking about, I just connected with this so much. Like when you're talking about like scrolling through Instagram and the experts and all the things. And we want to outsource to them because it seems easier. They've already done it.
Surely they know better.
And okay, number one, sometimes that's true. And I don't think that outsourcing is a bad thing. Like you and I will outsource multiple things. And like, you want to find someone who you can trust, who's not just selling you, but like setting yourself up as an expert on Instagram or anywhere is like the marketing technique. Mm-hmm. Like that is, it's all marketing. Mm-hmm. And with that being said, it's all marketing, but is there truth behind it? Hopefully, if you're working with someone with integrity, there is a lot of truth behind it and they truly are an expert in all the things. But when we go back to the concept of being able to trust ourselves, trust our bodies, in my line of work, it comes down to actually being able to hear our bodies and feel our bodies. And that's physically, but also emotionally. And when we're more grounded in those things, whether that's like understanding what your body's actually telling you or understanding what your feelings are telling you instead of just stuffing them down, which is my favorite way to take care of them. And we're working on it, but it truly does set you up to be able to trust yourself in a different way where you're not feeling the need to be constantly looking for the answer somewhere else, because it's completely exhausting, if I'm being honest, to be always looking for the answer somewhere else. And there is so much truth to the fact that our bodies are so wise. And you said something a little while ago, we have the ability to have a direct connection to God who made our bodies, who made our emotions, and who like truly can help us understand them if we're willing to put in that work. But that's messy. That's hard. Not on Instagram. And so
it's not cute. It's harder to
and
sell.
It's free as well. So you don't have to sell.
And I love what you're hitting on here because both you and I love coaching. Like I actually think women will come to me and they're like, gosh, I need to stop looking outside of myself for validation. And I'm like, no, we don't. That would make us a narcissist. We need outside validation to know how our behavior is impacting other people and even ourselves, because our biological bodies are pack animals. Like we can't survive without other people, but our culture loves this.
Hold on, where are we going? I'm not sure.
We love being hyper-independent a little bit too. Yeah. But then there's also this awkward, like we're hyper-independent, but then all of a sudden we have a codependent relationship where we're looking outside of ourselves, not for validation and information and support of, hey, I need you to help me to see what I'm not seeing. I need you to help see my blind spots. One of my favorite quotes someone said is, even the best brain surgeon in the world can't do brain surgery on themselves. When I went to work with Leisha, I was like, I'm overthinking the shit out of this and I need you to help me simplify it. I need you to help me come back to the basics because I have such a complicated history that I'm like, I had all of these different parts and pieces and I just needed someone to help me get back to trusting myself, listening to it, integrating it. And I think that's the problematic thing is that we have all of this information without the long-term relational integrating. Like the work that we do isn't giving women this exact blueprint. It's guiding them back to what is your intuition? What is your need? What is your body saying? What is your life saying? What's actually possible for you in your capacity? And then how do we integrate that? And we take this role on, I think the role we take as leaders or coaches or therapists is super, super powerful of being a hand with someone and empowering them and saying, I'm going to help you. I am going to support you. And you are the powerful one who is capable of making these changes and helping them find their work that they have to do, because you can't just come to a session and have something change. You have to go integrate it and you have to feel things. But I think coming back to where we started of why does this happen? We look to other people to say, yes, you're doing okay. And that's a lot of times what so many women want when they come. They need permission that they're not broken. They need permission that like what I feel is actually appropriate. I'm not crazy. It's not me. And even if it is me, it's where is my role and responsibility and changing and impacting this?
Yeah, I feel like there's so much goodness there just in being able to just even realize like where you are in that process. Mm-hmm. Have you ever thought about if you feel the ability to trust, whether it's like your emotions or your body, or like where are you getting most of your validation?
Yeah, I mean,
right?
Even just at a basic level, women don't trust themselves to eat when they're hungry and stop when they're full.
Mm-hmm.
Like one of the most basic things of a human body, we don't trust ourselves to know how much we're supposed to eat. And how many experts are we looking to of, am I allowed to eat this much? Is this too much, too little? And we play, I'm loving the language came up for me in a coaching call I did for me, where I realize I'm still playing Tetris in so many areas of my life is what parts of me are okay and what parts of me aren't okay here. What is allowed and what's not allowed? Am I okay? Am I all right? And we do that with our bodies too. It's, oh, this is good for you. Okay, I'm going to do that and it's not good for me, but someone said it's good for me, but my body's saying this is terrible. Perfect example for this is there was, I think it was right before I had been working with you, I was waking up at 5-ish and I was doing these like really high intensity workouts, like really intense lifting or cardio. And I was doing it without eating because obviously like fasted cardio is so good for you. And oh, I should wait to eat and all of these things because I was like, oh, this is so good. And everyone's, oh, look at your cute like morning routine, your hour long morning routine of working out and getting ready and journaling. And I felt like shit. I felt like shit, but I was ignoring my body because it was such like a good pretty cute behavior. And then what felt way better, going for a 15, 20 minute walk in the morning. I felt amazing doing that, but I didn't change that at first because I was disconnected from that part of me that was saying like, this doesn't actually feel good. Like this isn't working because isn't that a good thing?
Okay. So I think that there's a couple things that have come up for me while you were saying that, but when we go into just like working out, right? What would it be like to trust your body? And if you're listening to this and you're like, literally don't know if I am or not, or definitely I'm not, like taking a step back, maybe we'll talk about this next. What is that like inside out perspective? Like, how do we start to feel things on the inside and then create action based on that? And obviously both Becca and I have needed each other to figure that out in different areas. So it's not that you have to figure it out yourself by any means, but I think thinking about that and realizing where you are is really important. But even with exercise, I think that there's been this trend. There was this trend of hit it as hard as possible, never eat, and try to not die. And if you do that, you'll probably look really good. That's still there. It hasn't gone away. But then I think we've swung, at least like the health perspectives I've been in, where it's okay, no, but you need to work out with your cycle and you need to like make sure that you eat before and that you don't work out too hard if your adrenals are stressed and like all of these things, which everything that I just said, I absolutely 100% believe in, and you can take it too far. And when you take it too far, you're like, oh, I'm a fragile little flower and I can't work out for 3 weeks out of the month and only when I'm ovulating and whatever. Yeah. And so we can go way too far with that as well. But you're, again, like you're just outsourcing all of your information and not listening to your body. And so does my workout routine right now look cute and perfect and just like it should, being like in the health field or whatever? Like, probably not. And I am listening to my body and I'm doing it within my capacity right now. And what that looks like for me right now is different than sometimes what I would like it to look like. And also maybe what someone would tell me I need, but what I know I need is I need to be moving every day. Sometimes that looks like a walk with my kids. Sometimes it's just pushing them on the swing and like walking around the backyard and nothing official. Sometimes it is like a legitimate workout. Sometimes it's go to the gym with my sister-in-law yesterday and get my booty kicked. But that's not every day right now. Like, I don't have the capacity for that right now. But sometimes I think even just like being able to get outside of what you think isn't what you need and trying something new. I was like, this has been a really stressful season. I'm tired. I'm about to start my period. And my sister-in-law was like, hey, you should come work out at my gym where you will get your butt kicked for an hour. And you know what? Does that ring some alarm bells in my head of what I should do? I was like, I'm going to go and I'm going to see what I can do and probably not going to be impressive. And I'm not going to say I was impressive, but I could actually do a lot more than I thought I was going to yesterday. And it felt really good. And I needed that stress relief. And so I think, again, just understanding that like your body has different capacity at different times and doing something just because it's like the perfect Instagram answer, you have to listen to yourself a little better than that. So.
Yeah. And I think what's really tricky, and this is one of the powerful things of one, getting out of your head, but witnessing, is this information and wisdom coming from outside of me or inside of me? Because a lot of us, again, we like place this gold star and sticker on, if it's coming from outside of me, it's probably real. But if it's coming from inside of me, I don't trust it. Unless it's talking shit about us. And then we just believe it without even questioning it. But like those things inside of us that are telling us what we need or to slow down or even to push harder, we've learned to ignore that. We get stuck in our heads. And it's fascinating from the outside looking in. I'm pretty connected in like the health spaces and I follow a lot of things because I'm deeply passionate about my health. I really think that diet culture has now just become health culture. And it like, there's still so many of the toxic patterns of, if this was a toxic family, we like took the toxic, crazy, hard things and we put a really pretty filter and new language on it. Not you. There's a lot of really good people out there in the health industry. And there's still this underlying, you can't trust your body. You can't trust either way. It's like there's these all or nothing approaches and it never teaches you how to be able to feel the difference of whether to push harder on the gas or whether to push the brakes. Like that is information that only you have. No coach or therapist or support person is going to have the information on the gas or the brake. That is an inside man job. And I think it's alarming that people are being sold solutions and never being taught how to know how to personalize them and how to feel inside of them on how to integrate it. And so you have these women who, like, we don't trust the all and we don't trust the nothing. And so then we feel paralyzed of, well, I can't do anything about my health because I'm either going to go into unhealthy behaviors on this side or on this side where I can't do anything about it. And it comes back to this trusting yourself and knowing how to care for your deeper needs. Like what you said of, do you trust yourself to rest, but do you also trust yourself to push yourself past your discomfort? Do you know when pushing, if you think of applying pressure, most women are avoiding pressure. They're avoiding any more pressure on themselves. And yet I'm like, you know what feels amazing? A massage. A massage is pressure. It's putting pressure on a pain point. And so yes, sometimes a pain point needs a hot bath, but sometimes it needs like an aggressive massage gun hitting that spot over and over until it does something. And so learning to trust our bodies does not mean that we always let our body lead. There has to be this adult self who is showing up to make decisions based on the information, just like we do as moms. And I think this is one of the like best tricks I have with moms, is that they won't make decisions for themselves from this place, but they'll make it for their kids. I'm like, well, what would you doing if your daughter was here? And they instantly can tell me. Or if they're a coach, I'm like, what would you tell a client? And they instantly know. And I'm like, see there, that. Find that place in yourself and let her make the decisions about whether you need to go for a walk or take a nap. Mm-hmm. Let her make the decisions on whether you need to eat this or take a break from this. What if you trusted at least that one part of you who knows what's healthy, both right now in this moment and the long run?
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that when we talk about either side of the pendulum and like the all and the nothing, mm-hmm. I just more and more find that the answer is neither. It's in the middle. There's some of each.
Yeah.
So not maybe neither, but it's some of each. So one thing we talked about earlier was understanding really what's going on in your head behind the relationship with your body. And so understanding like the way that we're caring for our body comes from a relationship. Like, where do we start to heal that or change that? Or like, maybe even just, I think one thing about coaching that is so powerful is like asking the right questions. So like, what questions would you use to help someone start to figure that out?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think it depends on where she was again, because that's why being an expert who is not just giving people a blueprint can be really uncomfortable, because I'm like, well, it depends where you're coming to me from. But ultimately, I think that's where we would start is, well, where are you? And not just where are you from this logical, what do you know? But what are you feeling and experiencing in your body? And sometimes that's a language that I have to teach women, because we have all of this beautiful, high functioning language around what we should do. This is why I love that somatics is coming up, because like somatics is nothing new, by the way. It's just the way that people are starting to learn how to be human again and how to trust our humanity and not just like our really high functioning selves, but how to trust essentially like our animal selves. And the first thing I would do is teach a woman how to feel her body and how to do that in a way that feels really safe to her. Because a lot of women are terrified that if we start trusting her body, and it makes me so sad, but it's like also a little bit humorous when I have these women coming to me and they don't trust themselves. And I'm like, look around your life. Like, you have this beautiful thing you created and you're terrified that if you listen to your sadness or your anger, that you're going to tear it all down. And it's because a lot of women had experiences with parents or with churches or leaders where they witnessed these people who looked really healthy, who then had one hard thing, who didn't take care of it well, who like over or underreacted to situations. And so that's where I think helping women create this base layer of you are allowed to listen to your body, but it doesn't mean that your emotions are in control of your life. Feeling your anger doesn't mean that your anger gets to yell at your children all the time. And we can't just keep pretending that you're not angry or try to change the behavior of yelling at your kids, if that's making sense. So like I help women start to feel what they're feeling, start telling the truth around what they're experiencing from the inside out. Because so many women, all of their energy is going on what they need to do, who they need to be. The focus is on the hats she wears. The focus is on the roles she's playing. I'm trying to turn that at least for an hour when we have our session. Can we put your energy back into what's happening in your body? What's happening in your spirit? What's happening in your intuition? What's happening in your mind? That's all you have influence and impact and control over. And that feels scary to you because you were never taught how to lead yourself. You were told and taught by your parents and by other people, here's what you need to do. Fall in line and everything will work out. And all of a sudden, all of these millennial moms are coming to me and I'm doing all of the things, but it's not feeling good. It's not working. And I'm like, I know, and that's okay. And what's your experience? And how do we create and parent and lead the things that you're feeling, the things that you're experiencing while being able to trust? That doesn't necessarily mean we're going to let every little whim of emotion make some sort of big decision about your life. The example that's coming up is like moms will avoid like feeling resentful about their husbands. And I'm like, just because you feel resentful of your husband doesn't mean you have to leave him. But we also can't keep pretending that you don't feel resentful. Maybe you will leave him. Maybe you won't leave him. But we have to pay attention to the resentment, or eventually the resentment will make the decision for you. Toddler in the car. We're not going to let the toddler drive the car. Like they're not responsible for that. But we also can't shove the toddler in the trunk, because toddlers who aren't being taken care of can either throw a fit or shut down. And that's what happens to women. We throw a fit or we shut down. And so we need boundaries. We need boundaries with ourselves in order to trust ourselves, in order to make space to even have these conversations. And again, this is more complicated, deep work mm-hmm. than follow these 10 steps and you'll heal your relationship to your body. Like, it's not always that quick and easy and simple, because you are a nuanced human being who is having a completely different experience with your body than I'm having. Mm-hmm. And that's what it comes down to. And so we have to be able to listen to what your body's saying, to what your emotions are saying.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that this is where it feels like, okay, well, this is really hard. And so we were talking the other day and you were like, yeah, wouldn't that be nice if it was just like, I was talking about being grumpy and she's, I'll just share a little bit of this, but like I was talking about being grumpy and Becca helped me realize, no, there's like way deeper layers of that. And you just want to call it grumpy because that is something that you could be like, oh, I just need to change my mindset. And I'll just like,
listen, you can fix that.
Whatever the quick little cure is for being grumpy, snap out of it or take a nap or listen to worship music or tell yourself some affirmations or whatever, like all of those things. But it's, we want to focus on those emotions that feel like there's just a little shift, instead of doing the work to understand, like, where is this really coming from? And what are the big emotions in my case that I'm avoiding? It's causing this like cyclical, whatever, irritability, grumpiness, that I feel that's the tip of the iceberg that I can handle without having to like do the hard work of having time by myself to journal or actually pay attention to what I'm feeling. Because grumpy, I can just handle in my kitchen with my kids around me, or not handle and just be it grumpy. But so I think, even having the trust to make space for that and realize that it's important, something I've experienced, is really important and also hard to do.
Yeah, I think I have learned there was a whole season where I had to learn to do the hard work. I had to learn how to feel the hard things that were not simple. They weren't cute. They were messy. They were things that I wasn't supposed to feel or think or say. And I was out of integrity with myself because I was ignoring them because of how inconvenient they are. That's not convenient in motherhood, to be going through deep trauma healing while you're raising a toddler. That wasn't convenient. And yet here it was. And I think we do a disservice to ourselves and we do a disservice to others when we try to make hard things easy instead of letting them be hard and witnessing like you're capable of doing hard things. I trust you with this. Like when my clients bring me hard things, a lot of times they don't trust themselves. And I think one of the powerful things in a relationship, like with a coach, is for me to be able to hold the space of, I'm not scared for you. I know how capable you are. I see the way that you are able to do this hard thing. And I'm going to help you see how you can hold this hard thing. And I'm not going to diminish your capability by trying to make it easy and cute. I actually don't think that feels good. Like, it's like when you're anxious and someone was like, well, it's going to be okay. And everything in you is, no, I'm not okay. Or when you're angry about something and someone's just calm down, that doesn't feel good. And yet that's what we do to ourselves. But what would it look like if we learned that, like, oh, this big thing is possible when I'm dealing with it in the present, instead of building it up and building it up and building it up. And all of a sudden I have 10 years worth of shit that I've been avoiding because it was hard, because it was inconvenient. And I'm like, yeah, it's hard. And yeah, it's inconvenient. And here we are. And again, that's not pretty messaging. That's not the culture we live in. We live in a culture where like, we don't have commercials. We want the easy button. And when the easy button doesn't work, or when it works until it doesn't, we believe that we're the ones broken, instead of witnessing that we've built a society that's tried to say that if we just do the right thing or buy the right thing or follow 1 through 10, that it'll all work out. And then we all became adults who said, but I followed 1 through 10 and it didn't work. I did all the things for my health or for my kids or for my marriage, and it still doesn't look the way that I thought it would. So instead of being like, oh, that's what humanity looks like, because actually you're not God and you can't fix everything and you can't make everything pretty and perfect. And there's not bows for grief. It's just grief. But like, we make the hard things suffering when we try to like clean and pretty them up, instead of just letting them be messy and dirty and gritty and then being like, and there's no shame about it. I think shame is a big piece of this. And that's a whole... we could really go on a sidetrack there, but I really do feel like shame is such a big part of it, because shame makes us just stick our heads in the sand and not want to deal with it because we think we're so broken that we feel paralyzed by shame. And the power of having these conversations on podcasts or with each other or with a coach is that you realize there's nothing wrong with you that you're having this experience. Like even with my body stuff, you're like, there's nothing wrong with you that you still, that you're this like, pretty healthy person who knows a lot about nutrition. And I know all of the tricks and things about how to not eat things and habit change. And I'm really good at that stuff. It's literally what I do for a living. And yet like I was having this hard time doing it. And it's, no, that makes sense though, why you're having a hard time. And even just that, I was like, oh, okay, this is allowed to be hard. Okay. I can keep doing it then, because I know that it's hard, not because I'm broken or because I'm doing it wrong. It's just hard.
Yeah. When I talk to my kids about doing hard things, specifically for us, it's usually about school because I homeschool them. And instead of just telling them like, oh, you're so smart, you're great, you're going to do great at this, and then they have a hard time and they question their integrity, they question like why they're having a hard time doing it. Like, I find that they're so much more willing to try if I'm like, yeah, it's hard. You're right. It's hard. It's supposed to be hard. You're supposed to be learning. And like when I tell myself that, I don't really like it. And to be fair, my kids don't like it when I tell them that either.
Yeah.
But it's true. And I think that there is a lot of value to knowing, okay, this is a hard thing and I can take a breath and put my big girl pants on and I can do it. Versus, oh, this is supposed to be easy and I'm not having an easy time. And then that is where the shame comes in or things like that. And even this is something that kind of circles back to what you were talking about earlier, but I think that even a lot of this relationship with ourselves and like trust with ourselves, we have this conundrum of like independence. And in motherhood and womanhood and all of the things, we're supposed to be independent and good at everything and figure it all out on our own. And so much of the time that really causes our relationships to be so shallow. Okay, so to move towards wrapping up, I just want to circle back to the idea about really more of an inside out perspective on all the things that we've been talking about, but trusting your body, healing. And I know you have a lot to share about that. So tell me, I would love to hear a little bit more of, I'm not going to say how you got there, because I feel like that insinuates that like you've done it all perfect or like you're there perfectly, but like, how have you been moving toward that? And yeah, just a little more of your story and then like why that is so important.
Yeah. Well, a big place in why I feel I'm at such a great place with my health, where I'm moving in the right direction, both for what my body needs, but also in a way that feels really good for me. And a lot of that came from witnessing what were those rules that I was given? What were the ideas and the stories around my body and the way it feels, the way it looks, the way that it moves? And what was like the rule book I was given? And I think for a long time, I lived under the rule book, trying to do it perfectly. And then that didn't work. So I lived in like rebellion. Well, I'm just like, I just have to stop doing anything. And I just I went to the other side of not paying attention. And now I'm at this place where I realize there has to be this responsive relationship where I'm witnessing what's going on inside of me. What am I feeling? And that's like literal, like, how does my digestion feel? So we're talking like at a biological level, what's going on with my body? And this is one of those things that you're so beautiful at, is like, how is my energy? How is my sleep? How are these like actual indicators of how I'm doing? How am I feeling? How's my stress level throughout the day? And then also looking at how am I feeling emotionally and relationally, because all of those things mixed together. And then starting to trust myself again, like I love the example of the gas pedal and the brake pedal of how do I trust myself to be aware with what's going on inside and then also outside, and trusting myself to pivot and even sometimes between extremes. Because if you think about it, we don't need to fear all or nothing, because there'll be seasons where I literally have to drop it like it's hot. Like even taking on the example of entrepreneurship, like when a kid is sick, I have to slam the brakes on so many things. And if I'm being responsive to my life, when my kid isn't sick anymore, I can go, oh, okay, this speed isn't feeling good. I want to speed back up. And it might be a more dramatic shift. Sometimes it's these small little pivots, and sometimes it is a dramatic shift, but it's not a dramatic shift of I have to do all or I have to do nothing. It's I'm responding to what's going on internally and outside of me, in my parenting, in my relationships, in my physical health. I'm being responsive to what's actually happening in the world around me. And I'm not hyperfixated on it, but I trust myself to make pivots and make decisions. And then also trust myself that if I go a little too hard or not hard enough, I can always vary the intensity. I can change it. I can shift it. And being more curious and playful, instead of this, I'm going to find the exact right speed and then I just have to stay there. That doesn't work. 35 feels great when you're in a school zone and there's little kids everywhere, but 35 on the highway would feel terrible. And so trusting yourself to be able to move in response and in relationship to what's happening inside of you, with you, again, energy out versus what you're doing, energy in on who you are and how you feel. That is what has changed things for me in all areas, with my health, with my eating, because I now have this awareness of what am I doing and not what are the choices I'm making? What are the reasons I'm choosing them? What part of me is choosing this? Is this like healthy 33-year-old Becca who has awareness of health and wellness and knows what's really good for me and what's not good for me? Like, 33-year-old mom Becca knows when a cupcake feels like celebration and enjoyment, and when a cupcake is me trying to eat my feelings, and it doesn't matter how much I have, it's not going to be enough because I'm not actually feeding the need. 33-year-old Becca knows that. Sometimes, though, I lean on other parts of me to make those decisions. And so just witnessing and trusting myself, but also being curious about myself. Because I think when you say trust yourself, women are, especially if we're talking about eating, women do not trust themselves with what to eat. I'm sure you experience this. Like in general, women do not trust themselves with what we are and aren't allowed to eat. I now trust myself with what I can and cannot eat because I'm listening to my body, but I'm also not letting my body need, always lead me. I'm leading my body and my body's leading me. There's a reciprocal relationship where I'm not controlling her, but she's also not controlling me because sometimes my body is a toddler. Sometimes my body feels like a teenager and I have to make decisions for her because I know what's best for her, even if she doesn't like it. That's also part of trusting myself is having boundaries with parts of me that aren't healthy. I have healthy parts and I also have unhealthy parts. And sometimes the unhealthy parts of me make decisions and the healthy part of me has to come in and be like, oh, sweetheart, this isn't working. Let's try something different. That to me is where we have health. That's where we start trusting ourselves. That's where we start making decisions. And that's where we have long-term health and healing that isn't this on again, off again. There is times where it's more intense and times where it's more slow, but it's in a way that actually feels good and it doesn't completely derail us from our values, if that makes sense. Did all that make sense?
Yeah, I think that even just thinking about, okay, trusting yourself, especially we've talked about eating a lot as a topic here. If you don't have a history of trusting yourself with eating, if you have a history of disordered eating or binging or not eating, all of those things, just saying trust yourself does not fix the problem.
No.
But the question that I would ask is, what area of your life do you know that you can trust yourself? Or what would your husband say? What would your best friend say? Like someone who can look at you more objectively and say, hey, this is what I see. And so for Becca and I, we've talked about this. For me, I can lean on that. Like I can trust myself with eating well. I have a very consistent track record at this point. 8 years ago, no, not so much. And at that point, I couldn't have just said, trust yourself and then you'll eat better. But it took the steps, it took the work, and it took that consistency to build that trust.
Yeah.
And so I think that's okay. But finding that foundation for me, if I'm using the food example right now, like I can use that example to say I was able to do this and it took time. And so now when I'm looking at trusting myself to feel the hard things and not fall apart in my life, I actually do have a track record of that. And I've chosen to stop doing it. And now I'm choosing to start doing it again. And I'm not going to do it perfectly. And I'm not putting the pressure on myself that I'm here and I'm going to do it every single day, but I know that I can try again. And so whatever that is for you, where you're like, I can trust myself here and I have this foundation. And then this is the next area that I'm working on, or like multiple areas or whatever it is, like just taking those little baby steps. But one of the biggest things that I have learned is that being able to apply grace and giving yourself essentially the benefit of the doubt can massively improve the relationship that you have with yourself in whatever capacity and help remove those layers of shame and guilt that have been built up. And I think that is a really helpful place to start.
Yeah. And I feel like if we were just on Instagram making a reel, it'd be like, oh, you just trust yourself. That's the like quick, easy, here's information without giving you integration. And what I've witnessed is how women trust themselves is this messy combination of both grace and boundaries of, is the decision you're making actually good for you? And learning grace comes from learning to trust your decision making for yourself, right? Like your relationship to food you might trust yourself to choose food for your children. Can you apply that same choosing health towards yourself and use that as a boundary of like, here's what we do and what we don't do? Like rules that are coming from your need of this is good for me, this is not good for me. And having the nuance of when and how it's good for you. Instead of this list of rules of here's when these foods are good and bad for someone else. And instead saying, okay, what does it actually look like and feel like to me? What does my body feel like when I eat this? Am I being curious and in tune with what my body is saying, both in the moment and then long term? Is this building up the things that I actually value? And a lot of this even comes back to women not trusting our emotions, because a lot of times we don't even think about it, but our emotions are often what guides our decision making. And when we're not in tune with those, we are no longer in tune with what we need and value. But again, a lot of those are messy because we have a whole life of them. But even when we're talking about eating, it's Girl Scout cookie season. And 20-year-old Becca didn't know if she could trust herself to buy cookies, which like makes me so sad that like my relationship to food and to my body was so traumatized that like I couldn't trust myself with cookies. Like it sounds silly to say out loud, but I know the shame that so many women carry, especially when we're healthy, whole people who also like can't trust themselves with cookies. What is that? But we bought cookies this year. And I was like, oh my gosh, not once have I had to like obsess over it or use all of my energy to not obsess over it. It wasn't even a thing. I ate cookies when it felt good and when they tasted good. And, but I didn't even have to think about it. I didn't have to process it. And that came after a lot of long, hard work of both boundaries and grace and learning when eating cookies felt like pleasure and joy and fun and connection. And when eating cookies felt like the easiest, fastest way to feel pleasure that didn't actually equate to pleasure. It just numbed the things that didn't feel good. It quieted them at least for a moment. And that wasn't pretty comfortable things to know about myself. But trusting people, if you think about if you're building trust with someone else, it's based off of truth. And are you telling yourself the truth about what this actually feels like and what you actually want? Because my problem in the past wasn't actually cookies. It's that I wanted and needing something that I wasn't giving myself, both like on a literal nutritional, biological level, I wasn't giving myself what I needed, but also like emotionally and relationally, I had a lot of sensation that I didn't know what to do with. And so, yeah, there's no easy 10-step process for how to trust yourself, because again, it's your relationship with you. I can't tell you how to do that. You have to learn how to, I can teach you how. That's literally what I do in coaching. But also that has to be a relationship with you and you. What are you doing? Who are you doing it for? Why are you doing it? Learning to be curious and aware of these things. And it takes a lot of energy sometimes. And it's energy we don't want. And for a lot of women, they're like, I don't have this energy. And it's, well, you'll either do it now or later it will decide for you. Because the problem's there, whether we're dealing with it or not. I feel like I went on a somewhat of a little side trail there, but it's okay that learning to trust yourself feels complex, because it is complex, because we haven't learned that. And we live in a society that's still trying to figure out what we do with our messy humanity. And we have all kinds of answers that like sometimes work and sometimes don't.
Right. Yeah, it's so true. And I think the truth also is there's no way to wrap up and put a pretty bow on this conversation either.
There's not. Yeah.
It's ongoing. Yeah. But hopefully even just the messiness of that can be encouraging.
And permission.
And permission, right? To just take what you need from this conversation and then assess within yourself, okay, what's like the one next thing for me, right? And trusting yourself with that. Even that could be your takeaway action step is, okay, what's one thing I could trust myself with to move forward, even just like a little
bit? What's the next decision I'm making? And even witnessing, this is the decision I'm making, and witnessing what parts of that decision you control and what parts of that you don't control, and then being responsive to that. That's actually very simple. it's not easy, but it is simple. But it also takes time in building that muscle of trusting yourself, that relationship of trusting yourself.
Yeah. Yeah. So good. Well, thank you so much, Becca, for chatting with me and all the things.
Yes.
And this has been so fun.
I know. It's been so good. I love this conversation. It was so good. Thank you for having me.
So for anyone who is still here with us after an hour, will you tell them where they can find you, just like how you're working with women right now? And we'll put that in the show notes too, for the people who cut out a little early.
So the best place is usually Instagram. I have an email list as well. And I work with women one-on-one, mostly right now doing somatic holistic coaching. So we're using strategy of the doing, but we're also doing a lot of what we talked about on this call, like the deep inner work of trusting yourself and decision-making and emotions and all of the things that are going on under the surface with you. I also do retreats. Sometimes I have group offerings, but yeah, women are welcome to reach out. I do really cool free workshops every once in a while. So yeah.
Yeah. And secret BTS is that Becca also works with my one-on-one clients and has calls once a month with them. So if you're like, okay, I need the hormone stuff, but I also need all of this deeper work.
Mm-hmm.
It's available.
You get a little bit of both.
Do it together. Yeah. Yeah.
Which is the best.
So, okay. Well, I'm going to let you go, Becca. Thank you so much for being here. And we'll put all of your info in the show notes and hopefully be back sometime soon for another episode.
Yes. Thank you.
Any information shared on this podcast is solely for educational purposes, is not to be taken as medical advice or to be used as a diagnosis or a treatment plan for any medical condition. I'm sharing my educated opinions and experience, but nothing shared here can be taken on a one-size-fits-all basis. We always recommend that you do your own research, talk to your own doctors, and take full informed responsibility for any health and medical choices that you make. Hey, thanks so much for hanging out with me today. If you had as much fun with this episode as I did, make sure to share it with one or three of your besties and leave a rating and review so that more and more women can find this podcast and have happy hormones. And when you're ready to have pain-free periods, no more PMS, and energy and capacity to live the life you really want to live, then it's time to join us in Nourish Your Hormones. I can't wait to see you in there and help you have balanced hormones all month long. See you next time.